When I was a few months sober, my I didn't know he was going to be my sponsor, but there was this old guy by the name of Bud who had invited me to go to what ends up being the third oldest AA retreat in the world, and it's called Camp Monroe, and it's up in North Carolina. And he says, I'm not going anywhere with you people. I can't leave the state. He says, is this something with has to do with the law or something? I says, no, I'm insecure. I don't want to be with any of you farther than 5 miles from my home. It was just insecurities, you know. I went up the following year, and I fell in love with this place. There's something that happens up there. It's kind of like, you know, you build it, they will come, you know, or something like that. And I just there's some kind of miracle that happens up at this place every year. And what I did was I decided to take some of the elements from Camp Monroe when me and Scott started Sober Stock with Judy, you know. And one of the greatest elements that they have is they have a meeting on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and it's called God as We Understood Him. And I decided, you know, why don't we start something kind of like that? And it's Came to Believe meeting. That's the meeting you're at right now. And you were talking to your friend, weren't you? All right. Watch out, you might miss something important. So really, we have we get to pick some random speakers over the weekend. I've asked 15 people to speak this morning, but only 4 of you will actually come up here. So we're going to see how we're going to challenge your sobriety and your ego. So if you guys are speaking and you see anybody walking out, especially on our last speaker, those were the people that I asked that aren't actually going to be coming up here. This is all a ploy. I'm making this up, but it sounded funny. Next thing is this. I was sitting there having coffee with my sponsor this morning, and I was telling him I picked two women and two men, and both women are named after liquors. How does this happen? So without any further ado, I want to invite our first speaker up here, and I'm going to tell you why each speaker, why I asked them to come up here and speak. And the first one was is my friend Sherry, because that was Sherry. Sherry and I were hanging out on Thursday night, you know, part of the crazy crew that gets here helping set up and everything. And we were talking, you know, a couple of us talking, oh, big book. Oh, yeah, you want the thumper? That's Sherry over there. And I was like, okay, cool. And it's funny because, you know, birds of a feather, you know, and so Sherry and I started just talking and talking and talking. It was just wonderful. So not only did I make a new friend, but she's going to come over to my Megatron at my house on Sundays, and we're going to get together and talk about the big book with all my friends, and it's awesome. I can't wait to hear her. Not that I got you all built up or anything, but let's put our hands together for Sherry.
Hoping I'd be last. I'm an alcoholic of my name, Sherry. And I didn't get that from the speaker last night. That's what my sponsor taught me. If I forget my name, I don't get too much trouble. If I forget I'm an alcoholic, I'm screwed. This is what coming down here on Thursdays looks like. I also fell and busted my face open. So nowhere in the big book does it tell me that I will intuitively become a beauty queen and not be clumsy. I'm having a lot of racing thoughts this morning because I also am a dually. I suffer from a mental illness coupled with a mental illness, and I'm okay with that. I treat every area of my psyche, so to speak. But I treat my sobriety with Alcoholics Anonymous and everything that it entails. You know, I haven't found it necessary through, you know, the three legacies of this program, the traditions, the concepts, and wonderful sponsorship, the guidance of a loving spirit that I choose to call God, and, you know, just everything. I haven't found it necessary to pick up a drink since I walked into the rooms. Well, I should say since I crawled into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous on December the 21st of the year 2000. So I'm a millennium, baby. I had absolutely no desire to stop drinking when I got sober. I figured that I just signed myself to die an alcoholic death. I couldn't quit drinking. I was a binger. I wore the badge of alcoholism proudly. People would tell me as an alcoholic, I'm like, and what's your point? You know, what's your point? You know, I knew I was an alcoholic 10 years before I came to rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't know about the phenomenon of craving. I didn't know about the, you know, the physical allergy, the spiritual malady. I just knew that if I don't know how to do drinks. I know how to do drunks. I never did a drink. And I didn't pick up a drink. I tried alcohol when I was 14. You know, I came to believe that it made me puke a lot. And, of course, it was Boone's Farm. I think everybody's first drunk is Boone's Farm. Yep, that was it. And I came to believe that it made me puke, and I didn't like it. I said, well, I'll not do that anymore. And I didn't until I was around 26 years old. And I can't tell you the reason why. My son, I'm the mother of an addict. He had started using when he was 11 years old. I gave birth very young. I was 16. I couldn't fix him. My third marriage was falling apart because that was a hobby. I was married three times before I was 25. I came to believe that that doesn't work for me. I just kind of, I never ran with a crowd that drank. I ran with a crowd that drugged. I tried everything out there. I mean, I'm a child of the 70s and late 60s, early 70s. I tried everything out there, but nothing ever got a hold of me for some reason. You know, I was a situational drug user. If the situation was right, I'd do it. You know, if it wasn't, I had a good job. I excelled. I'm a bulldozer. You know, because we're going to go one of two ways as people in that have their insecurities. We're either going to go inward and hide everything inside and be little mouses, or we're going to bulldoze our way to overcompensate for our lack of, for our feelings of less than. So I excelled in school. I had to be the perfect wife. I had to be the perfect mother. I had to be the perfect employee. I had to be the perfect everything. And if I couldn't do it perfect, I just didn't do it at all. That's my thinking. That's warped. I was warped way before I ever picked up a drink. I had that peculiar mental twist before I ever put a drink in my body. But I kind of got this, you know, everything's falling apart in my world. If you can't beat them, join them. And I did not have an imaginary line. I did not. My drinking was fun for about 5 minutes. I started out as a weekend warrior. That's what I like to call myself. My weekends started getting longer. I'm a binger. I drink for days. I don't eat. You know, that's just enough to qualify me. You know, I've had so many come to believe moments, and I hope you never, ever stop coming to believe. Each and every one of you, I pray you never stop coming to believe. I'm going to share the one that, you know, that when the recession was removed. I'm not one that hit my knees and it miraculously got removed. I'm not one, I don't do well with a microphone either. I'm not one, I wanted to drink every single solitary day in my first at least 5 months of sobriety. And the more meetings, I went to 3 meetings a day. I jumped into service work. My home group threw me into service work before I even got a sponsor. Told me, just don't drink and go to meetings or your life will get better. Well, I'd run around and done a lot of service work. Every time I go to the bathroom, come out, I was a GSR. I was a secretary of the group. I was secretary of the club. I was scared to go to the bathroom. I mean, I was scared. Every time I came out, they elected me for something. But, you know, because I had, you know, I do have a good education. I do have a pretty good head on my shoulders most of the time when it comes to business areas. I was able to, you know, and you ever want to get really screwy, be secretary of a club and a group at the same time. You know, I got sober in Panama City Beach, Florida. If you've ever been there, balls to the wall booze. If you think you can change Remove yourself from alcohol in Panama City Beach, Florida. Give it a go. You know, I couldn't. I did not have the luxury of changing my people, places, and things. The people changed when I quit drinking. I had more people at my first year anniversary that were drunks than there were people in Alcoholics Anonymous. If you've got more people celebrating your first year of sobriety that are still out there, you're pretty freaking bad. I had a major support group from everyone that drank. It was great. You know, no sherry, no booze for you. But anyway, I wanted to drink, and I didn't share in meetings. People laugh at this because I talk all the time now.